Did you guys christen it with a name yet?
We're rotating names right now. Mm-hmm. We haven't officially selected one. So last week it was the Sausage Gravy Base. I believe next week it's going to be HRHQ. And then the week after that, it's going to be the Pre-Recorded Lounge.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
Classy. Isn't that classy?
That is classy. I like that.
We need to come up with a cool name for our studio.
Yeah, I mean, we can come up with a Dave-centric name. Boy, I got nothing.
Dave Cave?
Dave Cave works. The Dave Cave also kind of makes me think of, like, it's for, like, Hasselhoff's nether regions, you know? It's like, just the Dave Cave doesn't seem like a place you want to hang out. Like, hey, you guys want to come hang out in the Dave Cave? It's like, I hear it's kind of rapey in there.
It sounds
hang out in the pre-recorded lounge. The Dave Cave. Ah, that's like two dudes, and we got like half a chicken bone that we're like, oh, you want some? Or you know the old in the Burbs, where it's just like a sardine on a cracker, and we're just like watching you eat it? That would be right. A step up from the fare in the Dave Cave.
These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. These are the days I know, I know. These are the days I know. Some of them are Davids,
but most of us are Daves.
They all have their own hands, but they come from different moms.
Welcome to the Dave Podcast, Episode 11. This week, Arj Barker's character, Dave, from Flight of the Conchords.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows.
You know, these are the Daves.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dave Podcast. I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Caveman.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's going good, man. How you doing?
Shitty. I'm doing all right. So I want to open up the show today by giving a tip of the hat to another podcast. The reasons are several podcasts. They gave us a nice little shout out on their show in the most flattering way possible. They did a segment, top five favorite Matts and the top five favorite Scotts, because those are the names of the hosts.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So they gave us a little, you know, shout out. So I'd like to do the same, man. Do you have any top Matts or top Scotts?
Oh, man. Well, top Scott. Top Scott's a good one, just because of that, like, something that rhyme is great. Top Matts, I mean, Matt Groening for sure. Not Dave Matthews. Scott Thompson.
Oh, Scott Thompson's a good one. And Scott Foley.
Scott Bakula. How about the Scott, the toilet paper brand, Scott? Yeah, that's a top Scott for sure. Well, it's a bottom Scott, but it's a top bottom Scott. It's a top Scott for your bottom. Scott, this week's episode brought to you by Scott Toilet Paper. It's a top Scott for your bottom when you gotta squat.
The top Scott for when you gotta squat.
Squat Bakula is just Scott Bakula's, like, shorter. Like, that's his mini-me. Scott Bakula, Squat Bakula. Just a Captain Archer and then Vern Troyer as a little mini-me Captain Archer.
Little Archer. That's what I call my penis. All right. So anything exciting happened to you this week, man?
I've been trying to get healthy, so I've just been drinking a shitload of carrot juice, and I don't think it's doing anything for me other than, like, increasing the amount of fluids that I dislike drinking.
Yeah.
It's not great. It doesn't taste great. And I'm looking at it, and it kind of looks like it does the same thing as vitamins and a glass of water would do for me. And I don't really care for the taste, so I can't say that I'm going to stick this one out.
Yeah. You know what's a good detox thing that I heard? And I don't know. I probably should look it up before I say it. So anyone who's listening to this, please do some research before you actually do this.
You're like, switch to vodka. That's vodka's a wonderful way to just clean out your system.
No, I heard something about putting like a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar in a glass of water and drinking that.
Oh, I'll just do a raw shot in the morning.
Okay. So yeah. So it is good for you then, right?
Yeah, I swear by that stuff. I mean, it's you got to kind of tone it down. I think the raw shot in the morning, you got to follow it up with some water or some coffee or something. Because if you just pop your shot and go about your day, it's going to hit your stomach in a really weird way. The weirdest one I think I've heard is Gwyneth Paltrow's vaginal rejuvenation thing, where she does a little steam bath for her hoo-ha.
Oh, right.
You remember hearing about that?
I do remember hearing about that.
She's nuts, man. Remember there was that thing about living on God, I can't remember. It was like something like $40 a week or something. And it was like most Americans live on $40 a week. So she tried to do that on her blog, and she went out and she bought things like cilantro. She just was like a dumbass with it.
Yeah,
Then gave up after like 2 days. I don't remember the details. I just remember hearing bits and pieces about it, and it was just like, you don't go fresh vegetables. You go straight for like canned soups, right?
Yeah, or you go, you know, let's put it this way. It's doable. It's not healthy living, but it's very doable.
Yeah, I mean, ramen and beer are cheap.
I mean, just a big giant sack of rice, and then you go and buy frozen chicken breasts, and then you could go do something with the other $25 you have left.
Yeah, I mean, big sack of rice, big sack of potatoes.
Yeah, I mean, it's doable, but it's very starchy, and it's not a healthy way to live, but it's doable.
Yeah.
We're getting all preachy this episode. Oh, you know what? Not only is it doable, but let's put it this way. It's been done by both of us.
Right. Well, I've lived on ramen and potatoes.
Yeah. Oh, I have another homeless story.
Yes. We got to get our bum talk for the week. Hashtag bum talk.
This week's episode of bum talk. So when I was in college and I was living with like five guys to a 3-bedroom apartment. And this is when we lived down in San Diego. And there was a homeless guy who used to sleep in between our cars. And his name was Carl, good guy. And in the morning, if we had leftover sandwich or something from the night before, and we went to our cars, we'd give him some. And he'd keep an eye on our cars overnight. Good guy. And every so often, I'd be like, hey, Carl, how's it going, man? He's like, oh, it's good, it's good. Yeah, you got money for a beer? I was like, you know what, man? I'm going to go to the liquor store, get us a couple 40s, let's hang out. And you know, we'd just sit on the curb and just drink and hang out. One day, I'm coming out of my apartment. He's like, hey, man, do you have a little bit of extra change you could spare? I'm like, dude, you know what? I am flat broke. I don't get paid for another 3 days. I have no money for food. I actually don't really know what I'm going to do. He goes, really? Like, seriously, dude, I'm just screwed. He looks at me, pulls out a small wad of cash, gives me $10.
No way.
Yeah. I took money from a homeless man.
Oh, you did? You took it?
I took it. I bought myself some food.
You at least had a place to stay. This is like embarrassing confession time here, dude. Good Lord.
I was in college. I was young. I needed the money.
You know what? I'm going to absolve you on this episode. This episode, this one goes for you, man. You were young. You needed the money. Just like if you had come out about, you know, a porn career or something and been like, you know what? It was a long time ago, man. Let it go. You're absolved. You're now up on the absolution wall of greats with Kramer and Mel Gibson.
Wow.
Man, I can't believe you took it. that's why you're making up for it. You're making up for that moment by doing things like giving people the shirt off your back.
Let's be clear, though. This was a two-way street. I hooked him up with money and food for quite a while.
So this is just him paying it back. He was paying it forward.
I'd like to think so, just so I could keep my dignity.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
So it's getting about that time. Let me see if they are around. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. How are you?
Doing well. Becky, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So for the listening audience at home, we are speaking with Matt and Becky, two of the three hosts of Pre-Recorded Live, which, by the way, is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just full of geekiness and news, occasionally sports, occasionally gaming, movies, pop culture. It covers everything that I enjoy. So thanks, guys, for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
So much. Our show is organized chaos in its best form and diarrhea of the mouth in its worst.
Sounds about right.
So we're bringing you guys on right about the time when we do the news. Are you cool with chiming in on some of the news stories?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Before we jump into the news, I do want to share one quick story with you. Recently, on a recent episode of your podcast, you talked about the movie Tusk, Kevin Smith's movie Tusk.
Yes. Oh, boy.
And we're all here fans of Kevin Smith, but I think we would all agree that's a pretty challenging movie to get through.
Yes.
Indeed.
So I've been a fan of Kevin Smith from the very beginning, Clerks, and seen all of his movies. And so when Tusk was coming out and he announced it on his podcast and he described it and I was so excited to go see it, I went Thursday night. The movie didn't come up till Friday night, but they did one of those advanced Thursday night screenings. And I went to that, and it was me and about eight other people in the theater. And upon leaving the theater, there was one guy consoling his girlfriend who was weeping, just openly weeping. And as I walked past them, I heard her cry out, "Why did you make me go see that?"
Oh, man.
So I thought that would be a story that you guys could appreciate.
I'm guessing they didn't have a second date. He clearly has no idea what her taste in movies is if he took her to that movie, right? So that's like a first date situation.
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
that
strange choice.
But also it's Kevin Smith, and I think a lot of us kind of went into it being like, oh, this could be good. Like me, I went into it expecting like we're going to see Kevin Smith step out of his comfort zone and make a movie that will still be very Kevin Smith, but will also kind of like venture into some new territory for me. And then by the end of the movie, I was like, go back. Run back to that quick stop. Yeah.
Maybe they were just like Haley Joel Osment fans and they were there to see his triumphant return to cinema. Oh. You know, she's like, I loved him in that AI movie. He's such a cute little boy. I can't wait to see this movie.
By the way, excuse me, I have some allergies. Occasionally, I may have to hit the mic mute and sneeze. So if you hear me disappear, that's why.
That's probably our cat. He has, for some reason, decided that the podcast is part of his life now. So every time we sit down at these microphones, he comes and sits in the middle of the table. So if you hear any like
rustling
or purring, that's him.
I've had Tracy's cats make appearances on alternate endings as well. And in weird situations where I'm like, well, there's no cutting around that. That's just going to have a meow in the middle of it. Is there a cat in the background of the Ray J Kardashian video?
There might be. I don't know. I'll have to double check on that.
Yeah,
good answer. For research. You didn't implicate yourself.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go to the tape for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Would have been amazing if you're like, "There's definitely not." I've seen that so many times.
There is a brief moment where you see a tail, but no entire cat.
I had a dude at a gas station try and sell that to me. It was just like a Ma and Pa gas station, and I went in there just to get gas. I swear, yeah. And it was just this like old Asian man, and I was like, yeah, I'll have 20 on two. And he was like, do you want to see the Kardashian movie? And he did a horrible like racist accent that I'm not going to do because I'm not allowed to do that. But
wait, what? Wait, well, hold on. The old Asian man did a racist accent. What accent was he sporting?
He did sort of like a heavy Chinese accent. But,
okay, then if
but
he was Asian, that wasn't racist.
No, it's fine
Marlon
for him.
Brando and Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No, it would have been racist if I did it, but it was close to that.
Wait,
okay. Yeah, not Brando, Mickey Rooney, right?
Yeah.
No, it was sure. So weird because he was just like, you know, you want the Kardashian movie? And I was like, no, thanks. I'll just, you know, take the gas. And I think he had just bought like a case of them and was just trying to move them to every customer that came in the door. It was really weird.
And he was so disappointed because nobody wanted it. They had already seen it.
Yeah, like via the internet. Yeah.
I had a similar situation with One Night in Paris, actually. I was working at a gas station. And when One Night in Paris came out, a guy came into our gas station at like 2 in the morning. I was working third shift. And he was like, hey, man, you want to buy a bunch of these One Night in Paris DVDs? And me not knowing what it was at the time when he asked me and it being late, I was like, is that some movie from like the 40s? Like, is this some Katharine Hepburn movie I'm not familiar with? Like, what? Why are you selling this? And then he explained to me what it was. And I was like, oh, no, I'm good.
It's all one guy who's just peddling it to gas stations. Before that, it was a Pam Anderson, Tommy Lee.
Right.
I found my copy of that in the street in the rain. And it was a broken, like a broken apart VHS tape. And I found it, picked it up, took it home and had to transport the contents from the inside of that one to like a fresh tape so that I could watch it.
How did you know what it was?
It had the label on it. It said, you know, Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee or whatever. I don't know if it had a clever title back then, but I was like, oh, great. But the outside was all broken apart. So I took it home, found like a good tape, and just transferred the guts out, you know?
Wow.
I've done that.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was so worth it, though. Like, Tommy Lee deserved, like, an Academy Award for, like, a comedic performance in that movie. That movie was delightful for his performance in it. Because it's mostly, like, a vacation movie. There's very little, like, sex going down in it. But there's a lot of, like, Tommy Lee, like, honking the boat horn with his penis and just hilarious stuff. Like, he uses his surroundings. He's like a slapstick guy. Like John Ritter, but with a giant penis.
He's the Charlie Chaplin of porno.
Dude, forget about Tommy Lee with his Academy Award. You deserve an Irving Thalberg Award for your preservation of porno.
Yes. That's also true.
It's impressive.
Criterion should be calling you any moment now.
Yeah, can you restore this? Yeah, I hear you're the guy.
I had this vision in my head of like him finding the tape of the rain in the street. It's like, who's gonna drive you home? And he's just like looking at it for like 5 seconds, like, oh, I knew this was going to happen.
It was more like the scene in Forrest Gump where he just takes off running and he can't stop. I was running. It was glorious. If you haven't seen it, guys, everybody should give that one a look.
It's history at this point.
And you're never going to see just a celebrity sex tape that isn't well-produced ever again. They're all going to be well-produced and well-recorded. And, you're not going to see just VHS footage of Tommy Lee honking a boat horn with his penis for no good reason.
Right. The Ray J and Kim Kardashian tape, we don't really – I mean, there's too many special effects. There's lost plot lines.
Right. You know. The green screen stuff and all that shit that George Lucas added in needed to just be cut.
Okay. Since we are talking about dicks, let's jump into the news because I got a good dick story for my first news story.
Hooray!
Great.
Okay, let's get into the Dave news.
Joining us now here in Los Angeles, Dave Dave. That's his name, Dave Dave.
You know why I love the news? It's so topical.
Okay, my first story comes from Vulture.com. It says, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates subverts how female and male nudity are used in comedy. So Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates successfully subverts that supposed comic truism by creating instances of female nudity that trade on taboo and shock, not eroticism. It serves a purpose typically reserved for male nudity in comedies to generate laughs. I totally read that wrong. I'm trying to burn through this quickly because it's kind of a long article. Basically, let me just cut to the chase. So I guess Mike and Dave Needs Wedding Dates and it has a lot of dicks in it. And the article goes on to question, is that funny?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dicks are hilarious. Dicks are my favorite.
Are dicks hilarious? And also the article says, so typically when you see a woman on the movie, it's sexual or sexy. And if you see a guy naked, it's funny. Does that weigh out?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, unless it's like Lin Shaye in There's Something About Mary, you know?
Right. That's a good one. That one's hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
With her sunburned
boobs.
Boogie
Nights has some unfunny dick.
Dicks are just funny because they're shocking. But Hostel 2 has some really unfunny dick in it.
Well, Airplane has some funny boobs.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think dicks are inherently funny, though, because they just don't look finished. they look like something that someone got to a certain point and were like, that's good enough.
That's a really good point.
it's weird shaped and it hangs weird. Yeah, it's fine.
Like, I'm probably not the right dude for this, but I can't think of a sexy dick in a movie. I can't think of a time when I saw it. I mean, other than Tommy Lee on the boat, like, but I can't think of a time where there's been like a big budget movie where I've been in theaters and been like, this dick is played for romance. There's never an instance of that, right? Usually it's just like Swayze's butt.
Dick is played for romance.
It's just me playing a giant dick like a violin on the cover.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think it's always just butt, you know? It's Swayze's butt getting out of bed and, you know, it's rare. It's rare that you see a dick and it's not usually like, check it out, it's, you know, Jerry O'Connell's dick.
Yeah. While we're on the guy, I mean, Game of Thrones is kind of a like, I think that there's like a quota there. Like, they're like, look, for every four pairs of tits, you have to show one dick. Yeah. Because it's kind of like, especially in Game of Thrones, it's gotten to the point where it's like, is that shot necessary? Like, that was a beautiful shot that you just set up just so you could show that guy pull his dick out.
Are there sexy dicks on that? I've never seen it.
No, they're just there. Yeah.
Usually just hanging.
But it's not played. It's not played for comedy though, so.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not played for any reason other than to have a dick in the show.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the middle between. It's not funny.
I know the one sexy dick in movies, right? It's got to be the end of Boogie Nights.
Exactly.
Is that the one?
I would say that's probably the one. Because they build the whole movie up to that.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it's not played for comedy, I don't think. It's not like, oh, it's hilarious, it's huge. We've been told it's huge. It's just like, here you go, you finally get to see it. End credits. Go home and think about that.
Yeah, go home and feel like less of a man.
Fuck you, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Your girlfriend will never look at you the same again.
I should have gone with the other angle on that and just been like, less of a man. I went home so excited. I think, to high-five God for that one.
I think dicks are perfect for comedy. That's just going to be my stance on it. I think
they're hilarious. They're hilarious.
Like, boobs are only funny when they're unexpected. Like, that's why it works in Airplane, is because everything's right. Going crazy in the plane, and that just topless chick runs down the aisle out of nowhere.
Oh, right. His name is Robert Paulson. Fight Club. Those are the most hilarious boobs.
Meatloaf's got some titties in that movie.
What's your new story?
Oh, this is remarkably depressing, but. God told me to buy it. Evangelist David Turner snaps up Tyler Perry's Versailles-inspired mansion for $17.5 million. So David Turner, an evangelist and former businessman, revealed he's buying Tyler Perry's Atlanta, Georgia mega mansion. It's 34,668 square feet. It was inspired by Versailles. And, this guy bought it because he said, God literally told me to come here, Turner said. I went online, I saw this house. And that's when I felt like God told me, David, this is your house.
That makes total sense to me because, you know, I was hungry earlier and God told me to go make a turkey sandwich.
Yeah, but that makes perfect sense. That sounds like a sensible thing God would say to do. Like, yes, you should not die. You should eat food. I don't know that God's like, you know what? You should buy that hammer house you've always wanted.
But I don't have the money to buy that hammer house. Maybe if I did, God would. I mean, God works in mysterious ways, basically by my id and what I want.
Well,
justify anything by saying, God told me to do it.
Well, who told Bill Gates to use all his money to try and defeat smallpox? But God told this asshole to go buy a rich guy house. You know what I mean? Like, no, that just bothers me, especially when it's an evangelist. This is money that, like, my grandparents' generation generously gave him because they thought they were doing something nice.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
These evangelists just bother me when they get to this level. But you know what? We're going to see this guy fall because it happened back with the dude who hooked up with the penthouse model or whatever. Remember the Tammy Faye Baker?
Tammy Faye Baker and what was her husband's name?
Jim Baker?
That sounds right.
We got to watch the tremendous fall of him, so I'm hoping with this David Turner guy maybe we'll see the same thing. I don't know why this bothers me. You know, I shouldn't, but that's nuts to me. $17 million on a house.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Oh, boy. This episode.
Yeah. Is no one else disturbed that Tyler Perry has amassed such a fortune?
That's another part of it.
Is that just me?
A little depressing because he's been in one movie I liked. He was in the new Ninja Turtles, and it was the best thing he's done ever.
Yep.
He was in Gone Girl. He wasn't bad in that.
You're right.
He was good in Star Trek.
Oh, you're right. All right. So he's done three things. Okay.
Yeah, but those are all small parts.
People just need to take him off of his own projects.
Yeah, he needs to stop making movies.
Yeah, I saw the poster for Madea Halloween earlier today, and I just kind of shook my head. Where it's the classic Halloween poster with the pumpkin with the knife coming down, except it's wearing Madea glasses.
Wow.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, the state of, like, entertainment now. And it's especially sad because it's like people are spending a bunch of money on these movies, like Mother's Day and Monster Trucks and all these things. And for all the people out there who are complaining about, like, there's no original movies, everything's a remake, a reboot, and a sequel, and it's like, no, there are original movies out there. They're just not good, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would trade any one of these innocuous, like, there for a minute and gone movies that are just being cranked out because we have a spot to fill in a schedule. I would take any form of original cinema worthwhile in place of that. especially when Becky and I just saw a movie like Bone Tomahawk, which was an independent movie, and it's excellent.
I've heard it's great.
And it's like one of those things where it's like, if this movie would have been in theaters, it would have been something people would have talked about because it's so good. It's so well produced and made, but it got regulated to a direct-to-video release because, you know, who wants to take the gamble on a horror Western when you could put out something like Monster Trucks?
Yeah.
My final news story comes from MercuryNews.com. Flight of the Conchords showcase hilarious new material. Flight of the Conchords self-titled HBO TV series went off the air in 2009. Yet, that doesn't seem to have hurt this New Zealand comic music group's popularity. Conchords are flying high on their current U.S. tour, sold out a 2,000-plus seater in San Francisco. The set list boasted plenty of longtime favorites, also featured some new songs. Don't get too excited, Clement said before launching into the now iconic Robots. We ask you not to get excited because it hurts the feelings of our other songs.
That's great.
The band, which was accompanied for most of the night by the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, which turned out to be just one cellist.
Those guys are brilliant.
Yeah. Also, Arj Barker, who played the Conchords' friend Dave on the TV show, opened the show and did a terrific stand-up set.
My English teacher went to that.
Oh, really?
My English teacher went to Flight of the Conchords. Yeah, she was posting about it on Facebook. Which, you're absolutely right in the sense of, like, they've gained so much more popularity now.
Yeah.
Because I remember when the show came out, me and some of my some friends I know who are musicians, they were the ones who showed me the show and were like, you got to watch this. This is incredible. These guys really know music and they really know, like, how to make comedy music. And I checked it and I fell in love with it, brought it around to everybody I knew. But it was still, like, one of those things where, like, a lot of people would look at you like a dog looking at an answering machine when its owner's voice comes on the minute, like, you would say, have you seen Flight of the Conchords? And now it's, like, one of those things where I kind of have that like, weird shitty thing that I do where I'm like, now everybody likes it. It's stupid. Like, this thing was going on 5-6 years ago and no one was paying attention. Now I was trying to get everybody hip to it.
Yeah. But because of the building audience, I hear they're working on them. Well, you know what? Let's close out the news and let's get into our featured Dave.
I was going to play a happy tune.
Here comes the featured Dave. Here comes the featured Dave.
All right, and that awesome music came to us from Dave the Podcast.
We always have to get slow right there. You got to, like, stop and think about it so you don't just say our own name.
I had to think about it. Those guys, I love those guys. Chris and Jim are awesome, but damn it if they aren't our enemy.
It's one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. I love those guys.
They're our evil twin podcast, or we're their evil twin podcast. You know what this is? This is like that Cartman episode of South Park.
Yes, yeah, the Spock's beard one.
Yeah, where, like, the evil twin turns out to be the really nice one.
Yeah, exactly. I love those guys. That's such an awesome song.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So our featured Dave this week is Dave, played by Arj Barker on Flight of the Conchords. And truth be known, we're kind of using him as the excuse to just talk about Flight of the Conchords.
Well, he's my favorite part of the show. That character is amazing. But I've got questions about this because he's not truly a Dave, right? He's a Davjeet. Do we need to open this up now that we can do anybody named Davjeet?
Absolutely. That's always been on the table.
All right. We can, for our Dave of the Week, we are now accepting submissions from Davjeets.
All right. So Flight of the Conchords aired on HBO. It starred Jermaine Clement, Brett McKenzie, Rhys Darby, Kristen Schaal, and Arj Barker. First thing off the bat, I love that theme song so much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That theme song is incredible.
Yeah.
Everything on the show is really just well done.
Yeah.
Like, admittedly, the second season, I felt it was a little overproduced. But, man, they knew what they wanted to do, and they set out and nailed it.
Yeah. Now, I tried.
In every way.
Yeah. I went back and revisited some of the episodes. I didn't get into season two. I think I got about a few episodes into season one and then just ran out of time. But I have gone through the entire series once or twice. But I don't remember too many dicks on the dance floor.
Too many dicks on the dance floor. Too many dicks. That's all.
Does that ring a bell?
That's all I remember of the song.
Too many dicks on the dance floor.
Too many dicks.
Too many dicks on the dance floor.
Too many dicks.
Going to the party, sipping on Bacardi. Wanna meet a hottie, but there's Adam, Steve, and Marty. There's Billy, Todd, and Tommy. They're on the front of the army. The only booze I'll see tonight will be made up on the army.
Tell the fellas, make it understood. It ain't no good if there's too much wood. Make sure you know before you go. The dance floor rojo ratio. 5 to 1 is a rodeo. Tell Steve and Mike, it's time to go. Wait outside all night till 5. 20 dudes in a conga line.
Too many dicks on the dance floor.
Easy to fix.
Too many dicks on the dance floor.
Straight off the dicks.
Too many dudes with too many dicks. Too close to my shit. Too hard to
Was that season one?
Season two, I think it's like the second episode.
Okay, I got to get back.
It is. It's really early on in season two because I made it to that one.
We went on YouTube and looked up Flight of the Conchords Best of Dave last night.
Yeah,
to
watch
like 20 minutes of just funny Arch Barker being Dave.
Oh, nice.
Shit, well, I didn't cheat and I just grinded like so much of that show.
You know what,
man? Come on, man, the technology's available.
I didn't think to use it like that.
You know, it's funny because my first thought was I'm gonna go on IMDb and I'm gonna get a list of all the episodes Arch Barker's in, and then I'll just watch those episodes. And then as I started doing that, I was like, there's got to be a better way.
A Cliff Notes version called YouTube.
Man, we got to communicate better with our guests because I just wasted like hours of my life brushing up.
This is like the episode we did on David Attenborough, and I watched maybe 4 or 5 hours worth of David Attenborough documentaries, and he just never came up in the whole 2 hours that we talked.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
So where do you want to start? Where do you want to dig into Dave, or for that matter Flight of the Conchords? What do we like about the show?
Well, I mean, obviously the music. Yeah. As far as just the whole overall show. The way those guys not only can do music where they're just kind of like taking a genre and lampooning that genre, like the fact that they can go into, as you've talked about on the show, David Bowie, like their Bowie song is incredible just for the way it kind of in one song hilariously encapsulates his entire career. Also, New Zealand accents are kind of inherently funny because I'm an American and I'm
and wonderful.
Yeah, they're wonderful, but they're also kind of inherently funny just because, you know, they sound like this. Up there.
Yeah,
you got me.
Right. It's Rocco's Modern Life, right? Even
right.
though Rocco was the dude from Reno 911. That's Rocco's voice, but yeah, Rocco is essentially just a Kiwi.
Right. Moments like with Dave, like moments specifically with Dave, like he's dead. He did what? Yeah. Like he's dead.
Yet almost every day a New Zealander is mugged. You just don't know. You hear a lot of terrible things happening. He may be dead.
He maybe did what?
He may be dead.
Yeah, I know, but what did he maybe do?
He may be dead.
Yeah, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. What did he maybe do?
No, he may be dead.
Are you guys fucking with me?
What?
Yeah.
Dave has some of my favorite moments from that show, though. Like, he's just such an odd character because he's sort of the, like, scuzzy liar dude, but he's also kind of not. Like, he lives with his parents. Them, like, at his house, realizing that his roommates are his parents is one of the best scenes with Dave in it. Where
pictures of you as kids.
Yeah, like, oh, these are just my roommates. I sublet to this crazy old Indian couple. And then they're like, they've got pictures of them with you as a child. And like, yeah, it's super creepy. I think they make them on their computer. Like, there's moments with Dave that are just phenomenal. That and just some subtle humor stuff like he does a bit about honesty. He's like, well, I think honesty is the best policy. The other day, these 5 Swedish models came into the shop and they were like, you know what? We want to get it on with you. And I was like, you know what? Honestly? Yeah. Like that whole thing, that whole thing is hilarious. But yeah, he's like an odd hybrid character. So he is sort of a lying scumbag, but he's also kind of not. He's just kind of like a doofus, you know. So he's an interesting character because you see characters similar, but not quite a character quite like that. He's somehow still likable in spite of all of that.
I just think it's really awesome that basically they made the quintessential American in their show an immigrant.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Oh.
And
like he is never all about USA.
Right, so much so that he has no idea where New Zealand is, even.
Right. Or that it's a place.
Yeah, and that it's not made up, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how they do things in England or whatever.
Newfoundland.
Yeah, Newfoundland.
Yeah, the... That was great. It's just like, you know what, us Americans over here, we don't take too kindly to your Brits or whatever. You're kind of like the most hated race around here. And they're like, what about black people? And he's like, they don't like you either. I do like it, but you bring up a really good point about them making their quintessential American and an Indian immigrant, essentially, which is kind of beautiful. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
down to the point where he's shitty to other immigrants. Like, Dave would be all about Trump.
Yes, Dave would be all about Trump.
Yeah.
I think it's I think Dave's intro in the show is just fantastic when they show up at his party, and he's like, "If you guys got something to eat, have you tried the samosas? They're crazy. The glob jamans are off the hook." Then he does that whole, "I'm standing here trying to look lonely." They're like, "Why?" And he goes, "Girls love lonely guys. It's a psychological analogy." What about Eugene? He knows what he's doing.
He's just standing over there by himself looking all sad.
eating like the crust of someone else's pizza, it seems.
You know, I also have to give a big shout out to Kristen Schaal in the show.
Yeah.
She is fantastic.
Love her.
Yeah.
That was my introduction to her, and like, from then on, I was like, anything this girl's in, I'm automatically going to love just that much more.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Her playing the ultimate groupie of the show, constantly hitting on the guys and making her husband wait in the car while she's hitting on them.
That's brilliant.
And like, her bathroom with the picture of the two-headed Jermaine and Brett. It's just like they managed to play that so like creepy, but like in like a way that doesn't kind of like overdo it. Like, it's overdone, but just enough to make it like realistically creepy.
Yeah.
It's one of those shows that has like some true comedy pedigree in it. You know, like, a lot of those people have gone on to like some great success now, and you go back and it's just like, yo, this is, you know, like attracts like. This is a bunch of funny people who just were down to be on this hilarious show.
Yeah.
When I first started watching the show, I was amazed at how many younger or up and coming comedians or lesser known comedians that I was kind of following were on the show. Because I had been a fan of Arj Barker since the Marijuana Logs. Okay. Like, that is a fantastic live show with him and three other comedians just telling stories about smoking pot. And it's just incredibly hilarious. And Kristen Schaal I wasn't aware of, but like, Aziz Ansari's in a few episodes. Eugene Merman, obviously. Just lots and lots of great people on the show that really lent like this fresh, young comedy voice to a show that's about two silly musicians.
Yeah. Rhys Darby in this show too.
He's Murray, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah, that was
love him.
You did
I would say, as much as I love Dave, he is my favorite character, Murray.
Yep. Mine too.
Yeah. And you did a pretty good Murray impression before. That was pretty spot on.
Oh yeah. That's kind of where my New Zealand voice comes from.
Yeah.
It's just me imitating Murray, because me and my high school friends, we all have a fascination with accents. Like, all of us always have, and we used to try and like challenge each other to stick to like one accent during the whole lunch period and stuff.
Yeah.
And so Noah and my friend Tony and I, my brother-in-law, and when we started watching Flight of the Conchords, we all started running around talking like this, you know, because you're gymnasts with your arms in the air, way up in the air there. Is that rock stars or gymnasts? It's gymnasts. Okay. My mistake, guys.
He was on a local radio show out here, and he told the funniest story, because I guess maybe a couple years back, he recently moved to Los Angeles, and, you know, previously he lived in New Zealand. And he was talking about the first time they had Halloween, and all these people just showed up at his doorstep demanding candy, and he had no idea what to do. So he just started handing out food from his pantry.
There's a missed opportunity for Flight of the Conchords, man. I would love to see Dave explain Halloween to those guys.
Yep.
Oh, that would have been great.
I forgot Halloween one year when I was living, before I had Becky to make sure that I knew what day it was every day.
Yeah.
And I would just like live my life like a shambling cook who would show up at a restaurant and work until it's time to go to sleep and then go home. I had kids show up to my apartment one day because I had my porch light on expecting a pizza. So I had kids and like it was one of those like off Halloween trick-or-treating days, you know?
Yeah.
What they do now where they're like, oh, we're not going to trick-or-treat on Halloween. It's going to be like the Thursday before. Right. And so I had kids just show up at my house like, trick-or-treat. And I just like stared at them for a good few seconds. And then I was like, I don't have anything for you. Like, I had to send these.
See, but you answered the door with money in your hand, ready for the pizza guy, though.
I did.
So that makes it more awkward.
Yeah. I'm standing there like
I've got nothing for you. They're all like, yeah, they're all excited. Like, this guy's giving out money. Call our friends.
I think my first thought was, oh, crap, does it smell like weed in here?
I got some of that, kids. Come on in, take a deep breath, leave.
Your mom's not around, is she?
Hey, your mom's kind of hot.
Does your mom want to get high with me?
Oh my god,
I've gotten high with some best moms in the days.
I have never been high.
Good for you, man.
not proud of it, not ashamed of it, huh?
I'm not going to be one of those people who sits there being like, oh, everybody's got to get high, man. Like, it worked. I know people who are responsible with it. I know people who are irresponsible with it. It's just like anything else in the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's to each their own. I will say this. I am a lot easier to deal with. Because if I'm not stoned, I'm Ra's al Ghul. I'm like, wipe out half the world's population.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's like a handful of people I don't want ever getting high. Like, I don't ever want to hear, like, we need the president. It's an emergency. Like, ah, he's high. Like, there's certain jobs, chief of police and any, you know, there's jobs where, like, I don't want you getting high. I want you to never be high.
Yeah. Heart surgeon, brain surgeon, never high.
They can get called in at a moment, like always drunk, never high. Like if it works for McCoy, it'll work for you.
I gotta say that my job right now is drawing on my computer and writing comic books and talking into this microphone. So hopefully,
you should always be high.
Yeah.
You know what? You need to step up your game, bro. Try out crystal meth, man. You got the time.
You know what? I've been thinking about it, but I just can't commit for some reason. I probably should step up my game though. I should probably just like get some kind of like liquid drug and just have it intravenously fed into me.
Never do that. Kids at home, never ever do that. There's no need to step up your game ever.
I told you I was going to take this show.
Jolt Cola is about as heavy as it should ever get.
Yeah, kids don't do drugs unless you work in a creative field. Then do all the drugs.
Yeah, see, he forgot to pluralize that. You know why? Because drugs.
Right.
So do we have any parting thoughts on...
Can we take a quick heroin break?
I would like to clarify to everyone out there, kids and anyone who may be listening, don't do drugs.
And by the way, kids, if you're listening, don't fucking listen to this show. This isn't a show for kids.
Why are your kids listening to this? Send Chris your parents' information because he will be in contact with someone who will take you to a better place and provide you with the protection and stability that you need to not be engaged in the Dave podcast. Why are you in the Dave cave, children?
Right. And especially, kids, get in touch with me if you have a hot mom.
Because I would like to get high with her.
So I was curious, have you guys checked out other shows? You know, because, you know, I'm watching this on Amazon Prime, and they have at the bottom, it says other shows you might like. So have you guys checked out shows like Garfunkel and Oates and Tenacious D and stuff like that?
I have watched Garfunkel and Oates, all of it, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I wish they got a season two.
Me too, because I started season one on Netflix, I think, and I couldn't stop. I just watched it all the way through in one sitting.
Those girls are so immensely talented, yeah. Like, and charming.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And it just pleases me to no end to listen to their song, Hand Job. It's fantastic.
Now I'm on a full-blown investigation to unlock the secrets of ejaculation. I need a translator like I'm reading Balzac to crack the Rosetta Stone over your ballsack.
The top is the part that confuses me the most. It looks like a silly putty Pac-Man ghost. Sometimes it's Jell-O Jigglin', sometimes it's denser, but they all look like a Darth Vader Pez dispenser.
Like Sam Jackson, I'm not as good with Shaft. When it's soft and flabby like President Taft, it's like a deep south queen that you want to make straight. Will I make it up right if I move it like a shake weight?
Move it like a shake weight, move it like a shake weight.
Hand job, plan job, I don't understand. Job. Do I spit? Do I squeeze? Do I ever touch the top? How can I learn when you always make me stop?
Damn it, now I'm going to be listening to that while I work all night.
Yeah.
I'll be waking Becky up in the middle of the night and be like, the song gave me an idea. I've seen all the Tenacious D stuff, and it's a definitely a lot more out there than Flight of the Conchords, but I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to watch like Kyle Gass shoot a baby out his butt.
Oh.
I mean, that kind of thing.
And who but, doesn't?
it's pretty fun. That show is also got a lot of great indie, like younger, or not younger, but lesser known comedy talents on there that are playing really hilarious side characters.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. I like musical comedy stuff, just as yeah. is. I mean, we just blew through both Bo Burnham specials this weekend because... Mm-hmm. Cool. Like comedy music is something that it's kind of my guilty pleasure. Like I listen to more comedy music than I do regular music.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I gotta say, like, it's weird, but I don't listen to music that often to begin with. Like my brother and my sister are the musicians of the family, and yeah. I've just got a little bit of that by proxy.
Yeah.
But like, I love like the Beatles and stuff. And like my all my favorite artists have been dead for like 40 years. But anymore, the only real modern stuff I listen to and that gets stuck in my head seems to be comedy music.
But what are the go-to comedy albums?
Couldn't even tell you. I mostly just watch stuff as it comes across to me. Stephen Lynch has some funny stuff. I mean, he's not as musically with it as say someone like a Bo Burnham or Flight of the Conchords or even Tenacious D. But his stuff's funny. But Bo Burnham is like my go-to right now.
Yeah.
His stuff is just hilarious. Like he has a rap song where he, you know, if the ladies in the house are feeling, put your hands up. If the fellas in the house are feeling, put your hands up. If you can divide by zero, put your hands up. No, you can't. That's a mathematical impossibility. I'm looking for real responses and information here, people. Don't be Pavlovian about this.
We were also just watching. Have you guys seen any of the bad lip reading videos?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. Couple, yeah, they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
They just did a high school musical
22-minute episode.
Yeah. A real lengthy one. And those guys write some really catchy songs that are
just
hilarious.
Filled with nonsense, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
gang fight.
It's a good time.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Dimitri Martin, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Dimitri Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I was going to say something, then I just forgot about it. I don't remember what it was now. I have that problem, thanks to the weed.
Yeah.
My long-term memory is really good. Once something's like, again, to quote Arj Barker from the Marijuana Logs, if it was so important, wouldn't be a long-termer. Like the time I had sex, boom, keeper. But yeah, that's kind of a thing that like I think is really becoming more and more popular now is the musical comedy show.
Absolutely, which I'm so grateful for, because back in my day, Weird Al Yankovic was pretty much it.
And he's tolerable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I respect him tremendously for what he's built. But, you know, you got to have more than one dish on the buffet.
Right.
We had Spike Jonze, man. I mean, he's a classic. It's been around forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, when I was growing up as a kid, like, pretty much, you listen to Dr. Demento, and it's, you know, another one rides the bus and eat it, and...
and Barnes and Barnes with fish heads, and he would occasionally play some Spike Jones and maybe some what's that guy's name, the poisoning pigeons in the park, right? Like that guy's a classic.
But like people like Frank Zappa and like Warren Zevon, who did write some kind of humorous stuff from time to time, they also kind of had to come out and plant their claim as a musician first.
Right.
You know, like nowadays it's much more accepting for someone to be like, I wrote a silly song. Like,
well, the weirdest one is Jonathan Richman, because that guy writes silly songs like there's an abominable snowman in the supermarket, but he is goddamn dead serious about it. And if you ask him like if it's a joke or if it's a funny song, he will punch you in the face over it. Like, he is so serious about his like Roadrunner song and is like Ice Cream Man. He is dead serious about that like goofy ass music.
There's also, is it Jonathan Coulter, who does the songs about like being a supervillain and having like an evil robot army and stuff. And then there's also, I mean, John LaJoy from The League. He's got some great comedy music.
Yeah.
Like Everyday Normal Guy or High as Fuck or God, I can't think of any more right now.
Yeah. All right. Or do we have any closing thoughts on Flight of the Conchords and Dave?
My closing thought on Flight of the Conchords and Dave is probably best stated thus. When someone disrespects you, you give them the bird. Because it's like saying, hey, you can't disrespect me even though I'm disrespecting you.
Nice Dave quote.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to get that one tattooed on me.
All right. So with that, let's get into Dave of the Week. Basically how this works is I find a funny Dave on Twitter, Octopus Caveman will find a funny Dave on Twitter, and we're going to have a Dave off, and you two are going to help us decide, be the judges, as to who has the funnier Twitter Dave. And whoever wins becomes the Dave of the Week.
Ah, I like it.
Let's do it.
My Dave of the Week candidate is at Dave King Thing. His name is Dave King. Okay, so one of Dave's tweets: tiny bit jealous of that woman who died getting hit by a duck boat in Boston. Pretty good way to go.
Man.
Let's see. Patricia Arquette's Twitter feed should be called Social Medium.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
A little groan worthy.
Yeah, all right, okay. How about this one?
In a good way, though.
Yeah.
How about this one? If this Trump thing is all one big prank by Clooney, I'd be like, okay, man, that one was solid.
That's good.
I'm going to friend this guy tonight.
Let's see. We got one that says, has anyone joined the army just to get priority boarding? And, okay, here's one.
This guy uses his Twitter so much more effectively than I do.
And here's my last entry from Dave King. Got super high before doing my taxes. Now I'm getting a $40 million refund. So, yeah, I'd say it worked out pretty well.
That's good. That's a good ender there. Good closer.
All right, man. What do you got for your Twitter, Dave?
I went with a Canadian Dave. I went with Descending Dave at Dave_in_SOPO. I'm guessing SOPO. I generally just screenshot the good tweets because if I retweet them, I feel like I'll spoil my Dave and then you'll cheat. My last selfie only had a 3-minute shelf life before I put it out of my misery. It was
solid.
Good.
Yeah.
Here's one that didn't get any love on Twitter that I saw, but I think is hilarious. I'm normally down with OPP, but it's a little different here in Canada. A few months a year, Canadians really have it made. I think
context for that one.
Yeah.
I think you got to be Canadian. I'm showing my Canadian support here.
I'm gonna get a hold of Adam from Everyone Has a Podcast.
All right, let me get to Dave's best ones here. She really was tempting fate by wearing white pants. All right, here's my closer for Dave. My uncle, who's been divorced 3 times, only dates married women now because he knows he can't marry them.
Solid Yikes. Plan.
It's a good plan.
That's my Dave. I love this Dave.
All right, Becky, you want to weigh in on your?
Yeah.
Who you prefer?
Well, I do enjoy both Daves. but the one I think that made me laugh the most and I would want to be actual friends with would be King Thing.
Dave King Thing, nice.
That'd be my favorite.
Yeah, I gotta go with Dave King Thing as well, because I don't understand this Canadian Dave.
USA. You racists. You're just going with the King Thing because of the
I'm
dick
not a
joke.
Racist, I'm a nationalist.
It's the dick joke. I mean, whatever.
You can't dethrone the king.
It's true. And also, I mean, it wasn't really a fair fight. I mean, Canada's just way too polite to put a dick joke. even the little bit leaning towards blue material in that second Dave is like, she was tempting fate by wearing white pants. It's like, I'm not sure what that means, but I assume you mean something vulgar that you're just not expressing.
Because
I don't know what
all
that
right.
means.
Well, descending Dave, man, I had your back. I'm standing up for morals and values here, but these dirty Americans are just going to sink with their dicks like always.
The guy who gets such juvenile pleasure out of Tommy Lee's dick honking.
I get juvenile pleasure. I get adult pleasure. I get so much pleasure. It pleases me. It pleases all of the senses. Tommy Lee's dick is something to behold. All right, I'm on the King Snake board now. Like, I'm all about the King Snake. You got me thinking about dicks again. Let's go. Let's tug it out, guys.
Nice. All right.
Did you say tug it out? Let's tug it out?
I might have. We'll find out. Because
that's a very different kind of hangout.
Let's wait until after this comes out, and then we'll act accordingly. Deal?
Sounds good.
All right, so those of you who are
listening. Hashtag tug it out this week on Dave.
Those of you who are listening at home, be sure to follow at Dave King Thing on Twitter. We'll have that information posted on our website. Be sure to like, favorite, follow, and retweet Dave King Thing all this week and show him the love on Twitter.
Send him a dick pic. Tug one out for Dave.
Right.
All right, and that'll close out Dave of the Week.
We just learned the days of the week.
Oh boy, I don't think you guys realized how vulgar and juvenile this shit was gonna get, did you?
I did not.
I'll scrape the bottom. I'm like an addict. Yeah, do you remember when Gary Busey snorted that coke off of his dog?
Wait, what?
No, but that's a great story already.
Oh my goodness, yeah, Gary Busey spilled a bag of coke all over his dog and he snorted it off his dog. And when they got arrested, it was this big thing in the news. That's the me of comedy. I'm gonna just squeeze it dry. But also, weirdly, watching that, having tried coke, I was like, I get it. Makes sense. I'd do that. That's a waste. You don't want to let that go to waste.
So tell the folks at home a little bit about Pre-Recorded Live.
Well, Pre-Recorded Live is a weekly podcast. Comes out on Tuesdays that me, Becky, and our friend Joe, we sit around and we just talk about whatever interests us at the moment. None of it's planned. It's all stream of consciousness. And the only thing that's ever planned is we pick out some new stories and stuff to talk about and some trailers and clips to review or possibly do a movie review. Sometimes we do celebrity impersonations that are just terrible.
Just terrible.
They're fantastic.
And we're always looking for listeners to send us strange voices to attempt and things like that. If anybody wants has an impression they'd like to hear, we'll certainly attempt it. You can find the podcast at prereclive.wix.com/podcast. We're on SoundCloud at prereclive, on Twitter at prereclive, and on Facebook /prereclive. And Becky, you have anything to say about the show?
We also have an Instagram account at prerecbeck. That's me. Put up lots of fun little pics for you that go along with the episodes, and it's a lot of fun. Take a listen. It's real silly, but I can almost guarantee it'll make you laugh every week.
Sometimes we get serious. Sometimes my inner cynic and prophet of doom comes out.
Hey, what movies are you looking forward to towards the end of the summer?
Suicide Squad.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a big one for us. I am also looking forward to Swiss Army Man.
That's right. That's coming out. We usually record these 5 weeks in advance, so it will have come out by now. So how was it?
As far as Swiss Army Man, we can cover both bases. It was terrible. It was awesome. So you can just cut in whichever one applies.
Okay, hold on. Let me get two of them, and then I'll use the act the one. I'll hit you up when it comes out and see which one it is. Okay, so what did you think of Swiss Army Man?
Oh, it's terrible. It was awful. I hated it. Every second of it. It's my worst experience in the theater of my life.
All right, and take two. So what did you think of Swiss Army Man?
I've never seen a better movie in my life. Like, everybody, seriously, yeah. This one should be gold-plated and put in the Smithsonian. It is a brilliant work of art. I cried and wet myself at the same time.
Wow. Yeah, that would make for like the most confusing review if there was no like stars attached to it. Just like, I shit my pants. You'd be like, what? Is that good or bad?
And if it said, I shit my pants while crying? you still don't have any good enough information.
Either way, now I'm going to see that movie.
Yeah. So if that was the only review, could you imagine just like, you know, Roger Ebert, I shit myself. You'd just be like, holy I'm watching this.
All right. So that'll do it for another episode of Dave. You could find Dave on Twitter at Dave Podcast, but just know this, we will not follow you back because we only exclusively follow Dave from that account. If you want to follow me, you can find me at GreenKorean1, and you can find Octopus Caveman at Octopus Caveman, and our website is DavePodcast.com. Wow, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been a thrill. It's been fun. Appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you for having us back anytime you want. Yeah. We'll gladly tank your show anytime. Bring it all down into the muck and dirt and disarray that is pre-recorded live.
Well, we do want to have you back on when your comic book, the issues that you are working on, come out.
Yes, that will be next spring. It is fitting for the Dave Podcast. I'm working on a comic, just to give you a brief elevator pitch of it. It's called Cleric, and it is about, or it's basically me realizing that I'll probably never end up working for any of the big two, and two of my favorite comic book characters being Doctor Strange and John Constantine. I decided to take those two characters and meld them into my own creation, which is a character named David Creed, who is essentially what would happen if you put Doctor Strange and John Constantine together.
It's a fun thing to write. Steamy love, right?
Yes. Yes,
they just put them together in a room.
They have hot, gay, stanky sex, and out pops my comic book.
Or it could be loving sex. It doesn't have to be stanky.
No, we established in our show that male-to-male loving is stanky and violent.
Well, you just haven't done it right.
That's probably true. This was established when I admitted on our show that I would let Edgelba do anything he wanted to me. And there was no backing out of it after I said it. So, and Joe confirmed that if Edgelba was going to make love to me, it would be horrific and violent.
But once again, I'd love for you to hit the name of your character.
Oh, David Creed.
So we have David Creed episode coming up this spring.
Nice.
Yes, I'm very excited to come back on and come at this with a little bit more of a literary accolade.
Yeah, we're excited to have you back on and share the goods, man. Give us a little scoop on the book when it comes out.
Will do, absolutely.
So, for another episode of the Dave Podcast, I'm the Green Korean.
I'm Octopus Dave Caveman.
Like Sam's through the hourglass.
These are the Daves of our lives.
Beautiful.
We're making out now. We looked at each other when we did that.
I'm glad I could make that work for you guys.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows. We are the Daves he knows.
These are the Daves I know, I know.
We are the Daves he knows, he knows.
These are the Daves.